The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. Mary had just been told by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he would be the Son of God. As proof, the angel explained that her cousin, Elizabeth, now quite elderly, had also conceived and was in her third month. Mary needed to see this proof for herself, so she set out in haste. From Nazareth to Ein Kerem, a suburb of Jerusalem, today, where the birth of John the Baptist and the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth are located. The distance from Nazareth to Ein Kerem is 144 kilometers, about 90 miles. She traveled on foot or by donkey, and certainly she had at least several days to reflect on what was happening. The story continues today with the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth. Mary had traveled with her words in her mind, "I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say." At this joyful greeting with Elizabeth, she is now able to sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Take a moment with your imagination and place yourself as each of the characters in this scene. Perhaps imagine yourself as Elizabeth, about to bear a child despite your age and earlier inability to conceive. Think of the mysterious events surrounding the birth of your son, the angel, and his name, John. Or imagine yourself as the young girl, Mary, whose unborn child is also unexpected and unplanned, surrounded by similar mysterious revelations. You are betrothed to be married to a man who is not the child's father, who probably has not yet found out that this has happened. Or you could be John, born to be the messenger spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, who would prepare the way of the Lord. Of course, as yet unborn, you probably won't remember this event, but we'll learn later how you leaped at your first encounter with Jesus, just so recently conceived himself. Then there are Zechariah and Joseph, men and fathers who kind of fade into the background as John and Jesus follow their own destiny. Both had to trust and go forward in faith as they became fathers for the first time. But today we focus on the two mothers, women who have such different ages and experiences of bearing sons, but who both know that their sons are destined in some way to fulfill God's purposes for his people. We don't know if Elizabeth lived to hear John's voice crying out in the wilderness, or to suffer the terrible loss of her son, brutally murdered by King Herod. We do know that Mary lived to see Jesus dying on the cross, to feel the sword pierce her own heart, but then again to know the joy of his resurrection to new life. Imagine how impossible it would be to foretell those outcomes at today's moment of greeting. Today is about the joy and the excitement and the awe of two women whose own children, it seems, know each other already. Two women whose faith led them to say yes to God. All generations will call them blessed, and we are one of those generations. So what do we learn from them? Mary and Elizabeth hold within their bodies and within their hearts God's promise of new life, of justice, and mercy. It seems there has been no other time when we have needed this life, justice, and mercy more than now in our world. But this is probably what every generation has thought. It certainly is true that in every generation, God looks for the people who will say yes to his plans, who will carry in themselves the light of Christ, seeking to shine it into the dark places in this world. There is a risk we take when these stories become too familiar and we don't get personally involved in them. To become a part of these stories, all we need to do is say yes to God. He may not ask us to do anything dramatic on a global scale, to lead his people out of Egypt, or even to lay down our own life. He knows that we have to begin opening our hearts to him and to each other in small ways first. He asks us to be more loving in our lives. He asks us not to assume the worst of others at first, but to assume the best first. He asks us to pray for his will for the need of others, and at the same time praying that he will make us an active part of his answer to that prayer. What is God asking of you this Advent and Christmas? Only you know what he is asking of you. Take a moment in this last week of Advent. You don't have to think too hard. You just have to give yourself space to think and then be willing to give yourself. He looks with favor on our lowliness. His mercy is on those who fear him. He remembers his mercy and always fulfills the promises he makes.